And from the flexibility file, our next guest, about 24 and a half hours later than usual, the fine columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work on the cover of the sports section online, registerguard.com, on Twitter, at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how you doing?
Hey, Steve. I am nothing if not flexible. How are you doing?
So I've heard. So Sunday, you wrote about Oregon's five-star freshman Troy Brown. And I've got to admit, I didn't really think about the gist of the article. I think I'm guilty. I just, when I hear one and done, I have these guys in my mind as being in college just because they couldn't go to the NBA. But so apparently you met him before he put on a Duck jersey, and he's not that cliche for those who missed. That's a really good story.
Yeah, I think you identified what is the preconception that a lot of people have about quote-unquote one-and-done basketball players, that they just went to college because they had to, that they don't care about school, they don't really want to be there, and their only goal is to get to the NBA as quickly as possible. But part of what I wanted to point out in that column is that that doesn't apply to everybody who's a one-and-done. Troy Brown could end up being Oregon's first one-and-done basketball player, but he genuinely, I think, wanted to have the college experience. I spoke to a class before the fall term started of freshman athletes who'd just gotten on campus, and he was one of them. And I was really impressed. You know, he was sitting front and center. He was paying attention, taking notes, really engaged with the class. And it made an impression on me for a guy who, you know, probably was not going to be in school all 4 years, may not graduate from Oregon. But in the time that he was here, he wanted to make the most of it. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind when we talk about the future of the one-and-done rule and whether it should go away.
With the Ducks still in the NIT run, obviously he's still a player. I checked five mock drafts from NBADraft.com to USA Today, Sports Illustrated, on and on and on. They have him from 15, 16, 17, 21, 27. But that all aside, if you had to bet, you think he's going to be the first basketball player and second Duck joining Willie Taggart to be a one-and-done.
That's pretty good. If he's a first-round pick, I think he's probably going to go. I think that's true of almost all basketball players. If you're a first-round pick, if you can get that guaranteed contract, probably in your best interest to go. So, you know, we'll see what his stock is like once he goes through the combine and, you know, the workouts and the meetings and stuff. It may be that, you know, where he's projected now reflects more so what his reputation was coming into college than how he actually played. So we'll have to see what happens in the pre-draft process. But I get the sense that if he's a first-round pick, he's probably going to go, and he probably should.
Yeah, I projected him gone, but I also did that with Royce Freeman. But on to the Pac-12 task force. I read the piece by our colleague George Schroeder, you know, these recommendations to clean up college basketball. So let's start with keeping amateurism in college athletics. I'm all about deep throat and all the president's men follow the money. If compensating players is off the table, is there any logic to, man, that's going to keep a lot of the pitfalls in place?
I agree with you there. I think that any changes that they make to college sports that don't address amateurism are ultimately just window dressing in a way. I think there are things they can do to improve the game. I think getting rid of the one and done could be one of those, although I don't think it's a cure-all solution. But ultimately, if the NCAA is still committed to upholding amateurism, then there's still going to be problems because you're still going to have this basic inequity of the players generating this great revenue for the schools and getting very little of it back in return. So, you know, I read the recommendations of the task force. Some of them I agree with more than others. I think overall it was probably a useful exercise. They came up with some ideas, but ultimately I don't think there's really a fix out there unless you address amateurism.
Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, and like I said, this is a 60-page report generated by Larry Scott. from knowing the details of shoe deals that coaches get, using an enforcement agency outside the NCAA, you know, the baseball draft model. So of the issues you read about, what a couple or three maybe that actually made sense to you?
Well, I think the idea of having regional combines that are put on by the NCAA to hopefully take the place of the AAU tournaments, I think that's a really interesting idea. I don't know for sure if it'll work. I'm not sure how you implement it, but it's interesting to me. You know, it's probably similar to what exists in football right now, where football recruiting has the regional combines, but they're put on by Nike and the 7-on-7 teams. But I think there could be some potential there, and I do think getting rid of the one and done is the right thing, although it's not something that Larry Scott or anybody affiliated with the NCAA can control. But I think that is the right suggestion. I'm not convinced about Larry Scott's idea of going to the college baseball model in college basketball. I'm not sure that would work, but I do think getting rid of one and done would be a step in the right direction.
Let's see what you think about the big dance. Let's go number one seed in Virginia's the South. I think they actually got a little roughed up because I don't buy Arizona as a 4 and Kentucky as a 5 is dangerous. Cincy the 2, Tennessee as the 3. I got Loyola Chicago as a live 11. Who do you like in that region?
You know, I've been thinking that this is the year that Virginia finally breaks through and gets to a Final Four. My strategy usually with the brackets is I take the two best teams according to the numbers and just pencil them in the Final Four and then maybe pick a couple sleepers. Virginia's been one of those teams all year. I know they just lost their sixth man who is injured and won't play in the tournament, so that hurts them. I'm gonna go ahead and say I like Virginia to get out of that region, although I reserve the right to change all of these by the time I submit my bracket at 9 in the morning tomorrow.
Yeah, I've been prefacing everything I've said that what you hear me say until 6 o'clock, I may provide you evidence of a completely different bracket about 3 hours from then. So Xavier in the West is a 1. Of course, you got some danger there. Carolina, Michigan's won the Big Ten tournament twice in a row. I think Ohio State is a strong 5. My Jackrabbits of South Dakota State, 12 versus 5. Providence plays physical. What's your play here?
You know, I think betting on John Beilein in March is a pretty safe strategy. It's paid off for me in the past in many ways. So I'm going to stick with it again this year. I think Michigan is playing as well as anybody in the country. I think Xavier is a little bit vulnerable as a 1 seed. That's one of the 1 seeds I don't like to get past the Sweet 16. So I'm going to pencil in Michigan in that region.
All right, let's get to the East and Villanova, who won it 2 years ago. Still have Jalen Brunson. They won the Big East tournament. Purdue's the kind of team who I'm like, they might win the bracket or lose to Butler in round 2. Huggins at 5 with West Virginia if they survive Murray State. Who are you leaning East?
Yeah, Villanova is the other team. I think Villanova and Virginia have been the two best teams in the country all year long. So I like to play the percentages there. I think Villanova may actually be my pick to win it all. I haven't officially decided that yet, but you know, I like it that it's a team that's been there before. It's a team that has experience, a team that, you know, looks good on paper. The numbers look good. So Villanova is probably my pick to win it all.
Yeah, that's how I'm leaning. I don't think they realize the trouble they're in if they were aware of that news.
Yeah, you and me on the same side is a sure loser.
And lastly, let's call it the Kansas bracket because it's the Midwest. They win the conference every year. They win the tournament a lot. But they are also the consistent big dance enigma. You know, I just have the vision of Ali Farouk Manish in northern Iowa. But I actually think they've got a landmine, be it Seton Hall or NC State, in the second round. And, of course, how they ended up winning the conference for 14th straight year. How they finish, who do you like here in the Midwest?
Well, that was a good pull on Ali Farouk Manesh. That's a name the Kansas fans will be cursing for eternity. I think I'm with you. I'm a little nervous about Kansas for a number of reasons. Their center has been out with an injury, was out for the Big 12 tournament. And KU, you know, has a history of getting to the doorstep, the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, but they can't get out of it. So I think probably it's the winner of the Duke-Michigan State game that has the best shot to get to the Final Four out of that region. I'm gonna lean toward Michigan State, I guess. But that's another one I'm gonna be poring over late into the night.
All right, I am not gonna commit you to go from 4-2-1. What you're gonna have to do is find him on Twitter at AustinMeekRG and see A, if he's sticking with that four, and B, if he's going with anybody else to win the whole thing. But I just look at it this way. It's just going to give us a lot of fun and a lot to talk about over the next few weeks. So are you traveling anywhere? You follow? You believe I was just going to ask if you're following the women?
Well, I will definitely be there. I'll definitely be there this weekend. And then from there, we're still figuring that out. But, it's nice. It's nice because I think I've covered the NCAA tournament like 10 years in a row. So it's nice that I can keep the streak going this year with the women. It'd be a little bit different for me. First time I've covered that tournament, but I'm excited to try something different and see where they go.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm actually excited to. We'll have this conversation in person on Friday. Always great catching up, Austin. Enjoy. I'll catch you in a couple days.
Okay, sounds good, Steve. We'll see you.
All right, take it easy.